Howdy, regulars. I will likely return to Austin history and music and stuff soon. We've learned today that the Shady Grove on Barton Springs is never to reopen. The latest permanent casualty of the shutdowns. That is a bummer. Saw a lot of live music in that yard and had a lot of chili cheeseburgers. Today, building a little bit off of Julian Simon, I'm going to read a couple of small selections from a large and awesome speech by Michael Crichton, delivered November 15th, 2005, with the Independent Institute. I'm just going to grab a few selections here as I wind my way through it. Skipping a large chunk of the intro, a couple jokes, and a couple of other helpful parts. Some of you know that I've written a book that many find controversial called State of Fear, and I want to tell you how I came to write it, because up until about 5 years ago, I had a very conventional ideas about the environment and the environmental movement. This book really began in 1998 when I decided to write a novel about a global disaster. That was one of the first books I'd written, and I thought, well, I'm old now, I'll write another one. And in the course of my preparation for this book, I rather casually reviewed what had happened at Chernobyl, because I regard Chernobyl as the largest man-made disaster that I knew about. What I discovered stunned me. Chernobyl was a tragic event, but nothing remotely close to the global catastrophe that I was imagining. About 50 people had died in Chernobyl, roughly the number of Americans that die every day in traffic accidents. I don't mean to be gruesome, but it was a setback for me. You can't write a novel about a global disaster in which only 50 people die. I was undaunted. I began to research other kinds of disasters that might fulfill my novelistic requirements. And that's when I began to realize how big our planet really is and how resilient its systems ordinarily seem to be. Even though I wanted to create a fictional catastrophe of global proportions, I found it hard to come up with a credible example. I couldn't actually come up with anything that I would believe in. So in the end, I set the book aside and wrote something else. But the shock that I had experienced reverberated in me for a while, because what I'd been led to believe about Chernobyl was not merely wrong. It was astonishingly wrong. Let's review that for a minute. These are the low estimates of immediate Chernobyl deaths as a consequence of the actual incident. And you can see here the UPI in 1986, at the time of the disaster, predicted that there would be 2,000 immediate deaths. The New York Post thought there would be 16,000. The Canadian Broadcasting Company in 1991 thought there would be that many. And you see the BBC and the New York Times in 2002 predicting 15,000 deaths. Their estimates were 15,000 to 30,000 deaths. Now, there was a UN commission in 2000 that suggested the catastrophe was nowhere near that proportion. And as you can see, the next UN commission in 2005 doesn't really show up on the graph, because the total numbers are 56. Now, to report that 15,000 to 30,000 people are dead when the actual number is 56 represents a very large error. To get some idea of just how big, let's imagine that we lined all the victims up in a row. If 56 people are each represented by 1 foot of space, then that's probably the distance from me to about the second table here, something like that. 15,000 people is 3 miles away. It seems difficult to make a mistake of that scale. But of course, you're probably thinking, we're talking about radiation. What about long-term consequences? Unfortunately for the media, the reports are even less accurate here. Here you can see CNN in 1996 was predicting future Chernobyl-related illness and death in a large swath that would go from Sweden to the Baltic to the Black Sea. It estimated 3.5 million. The BBC, much more conservatively, estimated 50,000. Agence Presse thought 500,000. The Ukrainian Victims Group in 2002 estimated 150,000. The UN Commission in 2005 decided that there would be about 4,000. That's the number of Americans who die of adverse drug reactions in this country every 6 weeks. Again, a huge error. But most troubling of all, according to the UN report, was that the largest public health problem created by the accident was the damaging psychological impact due to a lack of accurate information. This was manifesting, as they said, negative self-assessments of health, belief in a shortened life expectancy, lack of initiative, and dependency on assistance from the state. In other words, the greatest damage to the people of Chernobyl was caused by bad information. These people weren't blighted by radiation so much as terrifying but false information. We ought to ponder for a minute exactly what that implies. We demand strict controls on radiation because it's such a health hazard, but clearly Chernobyl suggests that false information can be a health hazard as damaging as radiation. I'm not saying that radiation is not a threat. I'm also not saying that Chernobyl is not a genuinely serious event. But thousands of Ukrainians who didn't die were made invalids out of fear. They were told to be afraid. They were told they were going to die when they weren't. They were told their children would be deformed when they weren't. They were told they couldn't have children when they could. They were authoritatively promised a future of cancer, deformities, pain, and decay. It's no wonder they responded as they did. In fact, we really need to recognize that this kind of human response is very well documented. All right, that's all I'm going to pull from there for today. But I mean, he spoke for, I don't know, 45 minutes or an hour or something. It's pretty great. Now, you may be wondering, hopefully you're wondering, if I am attempting to map that directly to what we're all living through right now. The Chernobyl disaster is to the reports about the disaster as perhaps you're thinking this virus is to the media coverage of the virus. And I really think it's too early to say. There's just a lot of data that we don't have. What I will say is that I don't find a lot of value in whatever CNN or Fox or MSNBC or NBC News or the New York Times have to say. And that's really unfortunate. They have a large role to play. But I think they do such a horrible job, at least if their job is to convey actual information and context and understanding, that I've more or less written them off years ago. And it's unfortunate. I think it's also critical for each of us to think through how afraid we are, what's the source of that fear, how we might overcome that fear, test the validity of those concerns, and help each other. Because just as he said, that he's not saying that Chernobyl wasn't a tragic event, wasn't a massive problem, that radiation isn't something incredibly serious. Obviously, so are viruses, this particular virus, and et cetera. But we're a long way from through this, and it seems like the media, so-called, are walking us into the same traps.